Hello and welcome to Mum's Work and Chaos. We all know the saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but where is that village? Well, I started this podcast to help you find yours, and I'm joined by some amazing guests this season, talking about subjects such as fast fashion, menopause, sex education, and teenage behaviour, just to name a few. So join me this season, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Mum's Work and Chaos. Today I'm joined by the wonderful Jenna from Little Dreams Consulting, and this week we are talking all about sleep and starting school. So a lot of you will have got your places for primary school. Secondary school I believe is coming a bit later, but one thing that we don't really realise is how different primary school is to preschool and nursery. So my daughter was at was in full-time nursery, and the minute she started primary school she was zonked as soon as she got home, and we were having danger naps all over the place. So with my middle one getting her place through today and finding out that she is joining her big sister at the same school, which is very exciting for us, I thought it was apt that we talk about sleep and how important it is for starting school. So Jenna, tell us a bit more about you and Little Dreams Consulting.
Hello, thank you. Congratulations on your middle one getting her space. That's brilliant.
Oh, thank you very much. We're very excited.
Yes, such a relief, isn't it?
Very.
My name is Jenna. I started Little Dreams in 2016. I was a solicitor for 12 years and I have three children as well, and had my middle one, went back to being a solicitor and thought, oh dear, I don't like this anymore. What on earth am I going to do? Because this is all I've ever known. Very long story short, retrained as a baby and child sleep consultant when I was pregnant with my daughter, and Little Dreams was born around the same time in 2016. The demand was quite substantial. So we grew and grew and launched our franchise at the end of 2021. And to date, we've helped over 1,000 families to get a better night's sleep.
Amazing. That is brilliant. So congratulations on making that huge leap from being a solicitor to a sleep consultant. Oh my god, I know it as well. I've gone from working in corporate to then freelancing and then back into corporate life again, so totally understand how huge that leap actually is. It's quite nerve-wracking to begin with, but it gives you so much more freedom. Congratulations. So one of the things that I really noticed when my eldest started school particularly was that she was in nursery. She'd generally start about 9 in the morning, and then I'd pick her up about 6:30, because if she didn't get her biscuit snack before leaving, she was very stroppy. There was a routine at nursery, we must stick to it. And if I ever collected her early, it was the end of the world. So but you know, within those days, they're doing loads of stuff. They were out in the garden, they were doing their messy play, their art and so on. But I don't think I really quite considered how different nursery is to school. And that first full week where she had full days at school, she was danger napping all over the place. Literally, we'd get home, I'd set her up in front of the telly with a snack, and come in 5 minutes later and she was fast asleep. it's really difficult, like, getting them into that sort of sleep routine. I don't know really where to go from there. It's like it's just hard.
I think the tricky thing as well at school, because my children all went to either nursery or preschool, which, you know, was quite full on. But I think with school, to begin with, everything is new. So not just the, you know, the people and that they're going to be learning, but actually the expectation, you know, so they go and hang their coats up, and then they go to a different classroom with a different teacher with 29, probably, different children. And then, you know, they have to go and get their lunch with all the other children. And it's just so full on, and they're constantly learning, not just the obvious stuff. You know, we're not just talking about the phonics and all that sort of thing, but, you know, they are learning through play as well. And Of course, they do that at nursery and preschool, but they tend to be smaller as well. So, that can be a lot for children. They can get very overstimulated and often need that little kind of rest at the end of the day. I always, talking of snacks, I always take a snack for my children at the
Oh
end of
God,
school
yes.
because otherwise, my goodness, it's like they've not eaten for days.
I actually have to do that with my two youngest when I collect them from nursery as well. They literally get in the car and their first thing they do is hunt for snacks. Like the minute they get out of nursery, I know that they've had a snack just before I pick them up as well. So yes, my middle one is fully prepared for car snacks on the way home from school.
Mine don't even make it to the car. I have to be at the school gate with a snack. They're just like, "Hi, snack," and I'm like, "Oh, have you had? Okay, here's your snack." So I won't even try and
Where's
have a
mum?
conversation.
Mum's not here. It's just the crisps. Okay,
Forget
fine.
her. But yeah, so there's so much that they're learning, and it can be quite easy for them to have sort of a bit of a danger nap. But I would just kind of be saying to parents, try not to let them have that danger nap, but get them to bed early. Like, don't be
Yeah.
scared of an early bedtime, because the worst thing is going to be an overstimulated, overtired child at the end of the
Yeah.
day. And so it's something to bear in mind even now. Obviously we're sort of April time, but even now, if you don't have like quite a strong bedtime routine, I'd start thinking about implementing that now, so that that's going to stand you in really good stead for September. And of course life happens, and we work and all of those sorts of things, but I would think it'd be really great to get a routine, which means that if your little one does have to go to bed at 6 or 6:30, so 6 is the earliest we'd say for bedtime, but if they
Yeah.
are going to have to be in bed for sort of 6, 6:30, maybe think about your timings for September as well. And it can be quite tempting because you have that, depending on the school, you often have that 2 week lead in. You're not like, oh, they're only morning, so only afternoon. So already you're sort of having this massive juggle. But just trying really hard to perhaps in that first full week or two, or as long as you can, make sure that your little one is home in plenty of time to A, have some decent food, B, have a wind down, and C, then have a bedtime routine in time for what will probably be a bit of an early bedtime.
Yeah, it's quite crazy, isn't it? Like my at the moment, my routine is kind of like pajamas by 7, reading a book by 7:30, in bed by 8, and a lot of the time, my younger two, I try and actually get them pajamas, book, bed fairly quickly, so they're sort of like asleep by about 7:30. I know that's going to have to change slightly around school and everything as well. My husband and I both work from home, but we finish at about 5:30. And so although we can sort of like, creep inside, put, get set the laptops up around the cooker and start on dinner and stuff, it is quite tricky in a way to sort of eat before about 6:30 sometimes. And so, we always struggle with the snack dinner ratio in a way, because they're always so hungry by the time they get home from school. But I mean, like, eventually you do work out your own routine and everything anyway, but it's incredible how different it bedtimes can be compared to like being at nursery. So like as I said, my oldest, she went to a nursery that was right next to the train station, so proper commuter nursery. Started at 7 a.m., finished at 7 p.m. So that, there was that wraparound care around work as well. But the setting that my younger two were at starts at 8:30 and finishes at 5:30. So it's quite a
Very different.
different setup already. So I'm very intrigued to see how my middle one takes it when she does start school. The other thing that we did was my eldest, she went to nursery up until the point of starting school. So we didn't have like a huge amount of time off between nursery and school, because nursery was part of her routine. That was what she knew. And so obviously we had a little break in the summer holidays. But she continued going to nursery until the end of August.
And we're going to be doing that with our middle one as well. So they're full-time, not term-time nursery goers. So, I mean, we find it difficult enough setting up activities and things for the eldest to do during the summer holidays. Now I've got two to do it with. but it's tricky when you work that sort of like normal full-time job, and you're trying to get that transition right as well. And also, I know you probably see a lot of this right now as well with the clocks having changed, is the lighter evenings are making bedtimes a bit tricky too. So the minute school rolls round, I'm quite happy that schools come back in September so that we can get back into that routine, and the nights are getting darker as well.
What can be really nice, and we always suggest this as part of like the bedtime routine, especially for older children, is kind of not the traditional bedtime routine, although that's important as well, you know, the upstairs, putting pajamas on, that sort of thing, as you were saying, but a downstairs bedtime routine as well. So let's say that, you know, you've had your dinner and your little one, you know, you would then close the curtains and put a lamp on. So almost like a cozy winter's evening. You know, obviously it hides the fact that it's still like bright sunshine outside, but actually what we're trying to do is help your little one's melatonin, so the hormone of darkness, so biologically their body is starting to think, okay, maybe we'll start thinking about winding down. And then they can do some, like, I don't know, playing with Lego or Duplo, or make shredding pasta tubes onto pieces of string, some fine motor activities, and that can be some quite nice reconnection time as well with parents, because often, even when little ones have been at nursery, they've come home from, you know, school, which is completely brand new, and they're looking for that reconnection. And obviously, you know, if they've maybe come home and you're like, right, you're going to have to sit in front of a screen or whatever while I finish my work, or I'm laptoping at the cooker, like making sure that you've got some kind of one-to-one, 15, 20 minutes, one-on-one play with your little one, and then a snack. So ideally not loads of snacks before, like a decent dinner and then like a bedtime snack. Things like bananas or cheese on toast, or a bit of bowl of cereal, that kind of thing. And having that as like a nice bit of a snack, reconnection, bit of quiet playtime in this sort of dim room for like half an hour before you then go upstairs and do the bedtime routine proper that everyone thinks about, can be like a really nice, you know, A, way to reconnect, but B, to help your little one, like to calm little nervous systems, because they can be absolutely exhausted, like wired but tired, and that's like the trickiest type of little one to try and get to bed.
I think that there's, I don't know how to put this, but I think sometimes as well parents have a bit of anxiety around how long to play with their kids, and they don't realize that their attention spans are actually quite short. And so you have this whole thing about, you know, we have to play. If we start something, it won't finish for God knows how long, and it will take forever, and blah, blah, blah. But one of the things that really helped me was 5-Minute Mum's books, Daisy Upton's books, because they were all really quick activities. And literally the point of it being 5-Minute Mum was that they took 5 minutes to set up. And a lot of them involve like random stuff that you have around the house anyway, like post-it notes and things like that. And so they were actually really easy to do, and we used them a lot during lockdown when I was homeschooling my eldest. She was in reception when we went back into lockdown, which was really fun for me. had her reception, and then had my now middle one, who was born in the April of 2020.
Oh, wow.
So like a month into lockdown she was born. And so when we went into that second lockdown that took us right through Christmas into you know, spring, she was like 10 months old by the time we came out, walking and generally destroying all of our homeschool stuff. But the 5-minute activity is a really fun way of engaging with her. And you know, although we did do the worksheets, we did a shit ton of worksheets, the amount of trees we probably got rid of doing all the worksheets from school, I found like in Daisy's books there were a lot of things that we could do that equated to the tasks that we'd been set anyway. And it just made it a bit more fun because we were playing a game, not filling out a worksheet. And we took a load of walks as well. So, like, we'd just head to the woods and we'd do, like, counting sticks, counting trees, counting leaves. Oh, what can we see in the river? And all of that sort of stuff, which was so much more fun. And it got her asking sort of more scientific questions as well, like, how's rain made? And all of that sort of stuff, which was really great. But one thing I did notice was if we'd been stuck in the house all day, just taking the dog for a quick walk around the block after dinner and before bedtime, getting that little bit of fresh air as well, kind of helped with her settling down. Because if she felt really cooped up, it could make it worse, like going to bed. And so we utilised the garden a lot during lockdown as well, because again, you know, getting out on the swing or the trampoline for a minute as well kind of helped burn off some of that extra energy. And then we could sort of migrate inside and start that bedtime routine as well.
I think that's so important in relation to sleep is, you know, A, outside time, because the daylight is the biggest regulator of our circadian rhythms, and B, just getting out the wriggles. But I think one thing that, especially when little ones sort of move up from reception, that surprises parents, I guess, is how little children actually are outside and playing. You know, obviously they have playtime and that sort of thing, but also they are inside. So, you know, even considering if your little one can cope with it, not necessarily when they've just started reception, but maybe going to the park after school or that sort of thing. And, you know, we always talk about getting the wriggles out before bed. So even before this sort of, you know, cozy winter's evening, you can do a bit of, you know, we talk about the Relaxed Kids website being really helpful, and, you know, kind of, they call it rough housing. So I'm not saying that everyone should get fight, but just having a bit of, you know, play that gets out the wriggles and is really, really important. Even if we're not in lockdown, you know, you want to kind of make sure that all your children's energy is expended before they start, you know, trying to wind them down for bed.
Yeah, it's quite tricky, isn't it? Like, my eldest, we found out in December, has ADHD. So although, like, in girls it presents more as, like, you know, an overactive mind. So, you know, we get all the 5 minutes before bed. I need to ask you this. Oh, what about this? And what about that? And have we done this? And have we done this? And, you know, can you tell me more about, you know, the moon cycle? And I mean, I know it. My husband has to deal with me. But it can be quite tricky trying to get her brain to switch off. And so we've been through all sorts of trials to work out what works for her, and all of that as well. So it's so much fun trying to work it all out. But I think one thing that we really forget as well is how important sleep is to learning. And you know, it's that time when they're sleeping and they're going through their sleep cycles that they're really starting to sort of, like, piece together what they've learned through the day, and really sort of ingrain those new nuggets of knowledge into their brains, isn't it? So it's so important for learning and development as well.
It's massive. And so what happens when little ones sleep is, if you imagine that this is your short-term memory and this is your long-term memory, if you've learned something new, same for babies, you know, if it was walking, talking, but, you know, if you've learned some new phonics or some new basic maths, then if you're not sleeping, when you're asleep, this short-term memory is transferred into your long-term memory. So that kind of stores it away in your brain. But if you're not having the right sleep at the right time, then all that happens is that this short-term memory either gets full, so nothing else can go in it, or the memories sort of dissipate because it doesn't get transferred into that long-term memory. So that's why, you know, as one of the basics for school, sleep is so, so important, because the things that your little one is learning in the day is not going to get transferred into their long-term memory. It's not going to become a core memory for them, unless they're, you know, unless they're sleeping well. There was a study actually in 2017, Panorama did it, and they looked at, it was school aged children, primary school aged children, and they got them to have 1 hour more of sleep per night for a week. And what they found is that the results of their problem, so their problem solving ability increased by 66%.
Wow.
Their memory increased by 57% and their attention and focus increased by 44%, which is like insane. But that's just an hour per night extra for a week. And that had that massive impact. So, you know, that just shows at the very core of it how important sleep is for starting school.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as you know, as I mentioned with my oldest having ADHD, like one of the things that we do that, you know, is really important to her is her sleep. Mm-hmm. And so even though she's turning 8 in April, you know, we've kept her bedtime the same throughout, mm-hmm. from sort of reception all the way through. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's always been pajamas on at 7, you know, in bed by like 7:30 ready for a story, and then, you know, lights out by 8 at the latest.
Yeah.
And so we've kept that, and she's such a good sleeper. Like she's always slept through from about the age of 4. She's slept through just before she started school, and she knew that her sister was coming. So we had a deal. You have to start sleeping through. Can't leave your bed. You must stay in bed until at least 7. But she even has an Alexa in her room with an alarm to wake her up at 7. She's very self-sufficient and, you know, dresses herself and gets herself ready for school and everything. She even prepares her clothes the night before so that she's ready. But like one of the things that, you know, is so intrinsic to keeping her going functioning so well at school, because they didn't even realise she had ADHD. It was only from what I'd seen at home, from her being so hyperactive, jumping around, her emotional outbursts and things at home, because she'd been keeping it all in at school and masking it so well. They didn't have a clue. And so but sleep really helps with that. Like, you know, it really helps her stay focused and keep that attention, even if she loses it by the time she gets home, which is fine because this is her safe place. She can do whatever she wants here. But we've always tried to instill that, you know, sleep is important. And so, you know, if we have a busy weekend and she gets out of routine, we really do feel the effects of it on Monday morning, and it can be quite a struggle to get back into it and get going again. But it's, you know, we try really hard to make sure that we sort of keep the same sleep schedule over the weekend. But it's never, you know, there's never a 100% guarantee that it's always going to stay the same when you've got family events and things going on as well.
Exactly. Oh, definitely. We always say like a one-off, you know, even when we're working on one-on-one with families, you know, the odd one-off, the odd anything isn't going to do all of, you know, really good sleep skills and, you know, really good routine. But I think it's when you start doing things night after night and, you know, 3 or 4 nights of tricky, you know, later bedtimes and all that kind of thing can really, really impact little ones with their sleep. Even, you know, when we're talking about, you know, when families sort of contact us and say, you know, my little one wakes a number of times in the night, and often it's because the little one's fallen asleep in a way that's not then replicated overnight. So often with school aged children, you know, it's mommy or daddy sitting with them or lying with them or what have you. And firstly, if that's working for a family, then you absolutely don't need to change anything. But obviously the families who contact us do want to change. And so it often happens perhaps after a period of illness or a period of something, or they've all gone on holiday, because it doesn't take much longer than 3 to 4 nights for little ones to think, oh, this is much more preferable, I'd like you to continue to lay with me, and then sort of kicking off when, you know, they're expected to fall asleep independently. So yeah, like the odd one off of anything isn't going to undo all of your good work, but trying to keep to sort of a relatively structured routine. Children thrive on structure, so trying to keep to a really structured routine, and it doesn't have to be like the same bedtime, because if your little one's woken up at 8 a.m. and normally gets up at 7, then their bedtime might need to be a bit later, but you don't really want them sleeping much later than 8 o'clock, because then they're going to be not tired enough, so you're going to get a later bedtime and you're going to get into a bit of a pickle.
Yeah, it can be really difficult, can't it? So if so let's hope we've got some parents of children who are starting school in September. What would be your top tips for helping get them into a good sleep routine before and as they're starting school?
Starting. So I kind of say be consistent with whatever you're doing. Like I was saying, children thrive on routine. So I think kind of probably the best tip would be to, if it's not working for you and if your little one's waking a lot in the night, try to help them fall asleep without them relying on something, which is usually a parent. Like you said, you know, some parents co-sleep and that's wonderful and that works for them, or whatever they're doing is working. But if it's not working, then think about now helping your little one fall asleep independently. And basically the reason behind that, if I kind of relate it to us as adults, everyone, you know, babies past 4 months, everybody comes to the edge of sleep with sleep cycles every, you know, a number of times through the night. You know, sometimes people get a bit riled up and say, you know, children and babies should come to the edge of sleep. And it's like, yes, they do, with the science of it suggests that they do. So everyone comes to the edge of sleep a number of times through the night. But you know, imagine if you're an adult, you've gone to bed with your pillow and your duvet, you come to the edge of sleep, everything's the same, you roll over, go back to sleep again, you wake up in the morning and think, oh, what a refreshing night's sleep. But if you had come to the edge of sleep and you were on the kitchen floor or the lounge floor, you'd be like, oh my gosh, what is going on, why am I here, this is weird. You wouldn't probably just roll over and go back to sleep again. So if your little one, for example, falls asleep in your bed and you transfer them to their bed, or they fall asleep with you being there, or even getting drowsy, you know, even or fall asleep being read a story or with a song on or something like that, then probably what happens is that they'll come to the edge of sleep, they'll have a chunk of deep sleep in the evening, start coming to the edge of their sleep cycles around 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and then will often then wake in the night because they're like, oh, hold on, this is different. It's like them waking up on the, coming to the edge of sleep on the kitchen floor. So they're just like, mommy, daddy, or they'll come and find you, I need to replicate what happened at bedtime. And so that's why, you know, we suggest, if it's not working, helping them fall asleep independently at bedtime. Secondly, being super, super consistent, as I was saying, because, you know, little ones really thrive on routines. So ideally, we'd like bedtime routines to be very similar. We'd like bedtimes, awake windows to be very similar. We'd like responses to children and however they're responding to be quite similar. So, you know, they thrive on routines. So consistency is really, really important. And I think it's important to say at this point that when we work with children one-on-one who are older, and we don't do cry it out anyway, but if anyone's thinking, oh, I wonder if I could just leave my little one, that sort of thing, you know, cry it out, it's not going to work with your school age child. Like, it's just going to be really horrific for everybody and it's not going to be okay. So, you know, if you're looking at helping your little one fall asleep independently, being consistent with it, but you're going to have to support them through it. So it's not something that you can kind of do quickly. It's going to be, you know, it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks. And then my three tips, wasn't it? So yeah, I would say don't be scared of an early bedtime is probably the third one. If your little one is absolutely shattered after they finished school, then, you know, try and get some decent food into them. Depends what they have for lunch, but, you know, try and have it all ready. This is all, you know, ideal scenario. I completely get everyone works and what have you, but in an ideal world, we'll try and have something ready that you can just shove in the microwave, you know, give it to them, that's easy food that you know that they like, and then sort of start having this sort of quiet time, play, bit of a snack, and then bedtime routine. But don't be scared about getting them to bed, you know, before seven, you know, even as early as sort of 6:15, if they're absolutely shattered.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, Jenna, for coming on and talking to me about sleep. It's incredible how important it is to us and our development. I really hope that this was really useful to our listeners. I will be sharing this on our Instagram. So if you did find this episode really useful and you want to share it with anyone else, do copy the link, send it on. And also, I'll be doing some more work in my Facebook community around starting school. So if you do have any questions about your little one starting school, or you want to ask any of our experts in the Facebook community, please do join. I'll pop the link in the podcast notes so that you can click through and join us there. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mum's Work and Chaos, please make sure to subscribe on whatever podcasting channel you're listening on at the moment. Or if you'd like to get involved, feel free to email me at mumsworkandchaos@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at mumsworkandchaos. See you then.